in language, for example, it's very common to talk about at least four different aspects of language. And I'll use the word dog as an example. The word, the actual D-O-G, the material word or the spoken word, when I say dog into this phone, is referred to as a signifier. And so in a sense, that's looking at it in exterior version. So we'll just put that in the upper right quadrant. Even though, again, the word itself doesn't have an interior exterior, we're going to look at it from the perspectives of the four quadrants. And so the word dog, D-O-G, is the signifier is in the upper right quadrant. And then the signified is what comes to your mind when you hear the signifier. So when I say the word dog, some image comes to your mind, some picture, some thought, some association, and that's the signified. The referent refers to whatever the real dog is. If I say Fido, my dog, then, and I point to Fido, that's the real Fido, then that's the real referent in the real world. Now, these signifiers, that is to say the words like the word dog and the word Fido, and if I say my dog is now running and jumping, all of those words form a social or a structural network, and that would be the lower right version. And those rules, those structures are called grammar or syntax. But in the lower left, those words all come together to form a meaning, and that meaning is called semantic or semantics. So in the upper right is a signifier, the upper left is a signified, the lower left is semantics, and the lower right is syntax or grammar. And those are the four aspects of communication. And you can see that operating with a flock of geese. So geese are flying, and they're quacking. I mean, they're actually communicating. Every quack is a signifier. Some animals have very, very sophisticated signal calls. You know, wolves have all sorts of signal calls representing intruders and various types of intruders. I mean, it's pretty amazing. But there are all sorts of signifiers. Flowers release smell and communicate with bees in terms of actual molecules that we would smell and call that smells good or something. Quarks exchange bosons, and those are signifiers. They're communications between individual holons. As far as we can tell, communication goes all the way down. And so if prehension, like Whitehead and so many others said, also goes all the way down, then guess what? If signifiers go all the way down, signifieds go all the way down. And that's just the way we say the four quadrants go all the way down, as far as we can tell. So we've got our little social hole on, and again, so I'm using social to mean both lower left and lower right. The social hole on is the flock of geese flying, and they're communicating, they're exchanging communication. The exterior form of that communication is the material or spoken word, in this case, quack, quack. The signified is what each geese, what they think or feel or when they hear that sound. So it could mean turn left or turn right, or look out, here comes another Boeing 747 duck. That's a very important geese communication of late. So they have a series of semantic. They know what it means. So where is the social holon located? Well, you're looking at it, the flock of geese. But remember, the interior quadrants don't have location. None of them have what Whitehead called simple location, and we're not going to commit what he called the fallacy of simple location, which is supposing that in order for something to exist, you have to be able to put your finger on it. So the exterior quadrants, you can put your finger on everything in the upper right and the lower right. You can touch the geese, you can see the flock. You can hear there's actual material signifiers, quack, quack, and so on. But the interior quadrants you can't see, they have no location, they don't orient in that space. They're in interior spaces which don't follow geometry. So right now, for example, one of the examples I use often is mutual understanding. Hopefully some of us are understanding each other and we've reached mutual understanding, which would be intersubjective or the lower left quadrant. But you can't point to mutual understanding. If I say, where is mutual understanding, you'll just sort of scratch your head and go, I don't know. So because the interior part of a social holon is the cultural part, you can't point to that. So if I say, where's the cultural part of a holon, you go, I don't know. It's the same place love is or understanding is or insight is or envy and all of those things. You can't point to them. But you can always point to the signifier, and you can always point to the material exchanges. So even right now, we have a group of perhaps 40 or 50 of us. That's a social holon. The interior consists of the understanding that all of us together are developing, and we call it, that's the we. So the lower left is the we. The lower right is the sum total of all of our bodies and the communication going out across the material phone lines. My signifiers are entering a material phone line, being transmitted through the right-hand quadrants into your material organism and your material ear in your upper right quadrant. But then you are having something signified by what I say. There's an understanding that arises in your mind when I talk about this. And it may or may not be how I understand it. So we're going to talk until we come to mutual understanding. And somebody will say, is this what you mean by a social holon? And I'll say, yes, that's what I mean by a social holon. And that mutual understanding will be the lower left. That will be our semantics, our meaning. And the validity claim in the lower right is just that. It's an attempt to reach mutual understanding. And much of language is driven by that attempt to reach mutual understanding because it's a broadening of horizons and emerging of boundaries.